This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Femi Abebefe.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
The great Iron Eagle.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT. And I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. On the BetMGM Network.
The tremendous football Thursday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the BetMGM Network. We will finish rolling through all the preseason depth charts in the National Football League at quarterback over the course of the next 2 hours. We will finalize all our plays for week one of the NFL preseason before we bid you adieu at 7 o'clock Eastern, plus all our bets for Major League Baseball and all our bets in the WNBA. And I'm going to give you, dear listener and dear viewer, the one thing that I'm watching for. It's actually not true, because in some instances it's more than one, but at least one thing that I am watching for in all 16 preseason games this weekend in the National Football League. Maybe it's something for fantasy football. Maybe it's something for sports betting. But there's at least one thing in every single game that I'm going to have my eye on, and I think you should have your eye on as well, because we are in fact-finding mode right now. The NFL regular season, about a month away. The college football season, less than a month away. And joining us right now to break it down, we love having him on the show. Friend of the show. You love him on Big Noon Kickoff on Fox. You love the Bear Bets podcast with him and Jeff Schwartz and our teammate, the great Sam Panayotovich. Kills it on Fox Sports' soccer coverage. Kills it with Fox Sports and college football. Basically all sports for our friends at Fox Sports. The one, the only, the Bear, Chris Felico, who joins us now here on You Better You Bet. Bear, welcome back to the show. Nick and Femi, hope summer has been treating you great. How's it going?
Summer's been good. Had the nice trip overseas. Just got back from L.A. for our Fox football meetings over the last couple of days, and now that's the unofficial end of summer vacation, and now we're ready to roll.
Are you feeling it, Bear, that there's more juice for Big Noon Kickoff this year. And I don't mean that to say that there hasn't been in the past, but that the juice and the excitement this year for Big Noon Kickoff, obviously with the addition of Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports joining the show, that the juice and the buzz is ridiculous right now in a great way for Big Noon Kickoff. Are you feeling that right now? And are you like extra excited to do the show coming up this year?
I am feeling that there's a little bit more anticipation and excitement just because of the addition in the news of Dave and just people's curiosity as to how he's going to be used and implemented and the role or character. Well, I really shouldn't say role or character. He's going to be himself on the show as authentic as he is. But I think there's a little bit of a misconception out there. Like, I think a lot of people are just thinking, oh, it's going to be like Pat McAfee on Game Day where Dave's going to be on the set every segment, and that's not going to be the case. He's going to be on the set for some segments, sure, but it's not going to be like you're going to be adding what would it be, the fifth analyst on the set at all times. It's not going to be that, but I think there is definitely some curiosity with that, and I think it gave the show a little joy. So kudos to my bosses for adding a little bit of a spice in not only the Big Noon show, but the FS1 morning lineup as well. Plus, by the way, it doesn't necessarily hurt that we got that number one versus number two reigning national champion Ohio State versus Texas to kick it off there on August 30th.
And I can't wait for it. I love this for you. I love this for Fox. I think that this has been awesome, and I've been saying that basically since this news was announced. So, Bear, this is going to be a great season for you guys, and we can't wait to watch the entire season and, of course, listen to you and Sam and Jeff and everybody on the Bear Bets podcast as well. So we'll get to Texas and Ohio State, but you are so in the weeds in a great way with college football. I want you to take this answer, Bear, in any direction you want. This could be as esoteric, as in the weeds as you want, or you could tell us who's going to win the national championship, wherever you want to take it. As it stands right now, on Thursday, August 7th, what is Chris Felica's favorite college football bet?
It's something that's probably going to offend or raise some eyebrows in a lot of people's minds, because people have a hard time seeing this number and laying that, but Penn State minus 290 or whatever they are to make the college football playoff, like, that is my favorite bet of everything. It's funny because Penn State has this like reputation of like people, you can't trust Penn State to win. Penn State is the most trustworthy, predictable team in all of college football. You know that the floor is 10-2. You know they get Oregon at home, and maybe they win that game, and they go to Ohio State and lose their 11-1. The way the schedule breaks down for Penn State, you know they're going to be in the college football playoff. They're not going to be worse than 10-2. So I have no problem laying a big number like that with a team that is loaded on defense with a new defensive coordinator. Two great running backs. They feel good about their tight end position. I mean, I think obviously they want Aller to take a little bit of a step forward, but between those running backs that they have, the defense, and just kind of winning the way that they have, like, Penn State's going to be in the college football playoff. And yeah, I know people see that, you're going to lay 290 to win 100 or 2,900 to win 1,000 on Penn State, and you got to tie that up for 3 months. I have no problem doing that, because Penn State is about as predictable of a team and a return you can have in the sport.
It's interesting that you say that, Bear. Penn State right now 7-1 to win the national title. You're already putting them into the college football playoff, which is a pretty safe assumption given the price that you mentioned and the bet that you like. But are you willing to go as far as saying Penn State will win the national title at that plus 700 price over at BetMGM?
That's where I have a little bit of a concern. The one worry I do have, even though they brought in Trevor Pena from Syracuse, I still worry a little bit about their receiving group. Can Aller find some guys to make big plays throughout? And once they get into the playoff, can they beat in consecutive games a Notre Dame, a Georgia, an Ohio State, a Texas? Like, can they win two or three games in a row against those top five teams when we know what is it, 1-16 under James Franklin against top five teams? So That's the question I have. And it's funny, you see Penn State at plus 750 or 700 to win the national title. This is what I was thinking back. I think you got to go back to like 2016 was the year that I saw where you had a bunch of guys who a bunch of teams rather that would got a bunch of first place votes. So I think if you look, you can make a case for like 8 to 10 teams potentially to win the national championship this year. I mean, they're the obvious contenders. So I don't think I'm going to, unless you're looking at a team in the 20-1 or longer price to win the title, I don't necessarily know if it's a great deal to bet on a team right now to win the college football playoff, because I think you're at some point during the year, once one of these teams, a couple of these teams pick up losses, you're probably going to get a little bit of a number. So if you had to make one play, I mean, I guess betting Penn State to win it would be kind of the safest deal, because you assume they're going to be in it. And maybe depending on your stake, you can kind of whittle away at a make a little bit of a profit. But yeah, I'm sitting pat in the win the national championship market, just because I think we're going to be able to get some prices a little bit better throughout the year. Remember, by the end of September last year, Georgia was a longer price than they were before the year, and we get numbers on the Bulldogs that we never thought we'd get.
Yeah, and even Ohio State last year heading into the playoff was like around like +800 or whatever it was after they lost to Michigan. So, yeah, maybe being patient might be the strategy this year in betting the CFP. You mentioned it early on. You guys have the massive game to start the season, Week 1. Texas, Ohio State. We got the big news today from Archie Manning saying that Arch Manning is likely to stay at Texas next year and is not going to be declaring for the NFL draft. I know you talk with Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, Urban Meyer, all these guys that have had a lot of experience and they know what it looks like. When you talk to them about Arch Manning, because I think that's the big mystery this season with Texas, like how good is Arch Manning and what should we expect to see starting when they take on the Buckeyes in Columbus?
Well, I think it's a big question for everyone. Everyone is just anointing him as Heisman Trophy favorite, number one team in the country. And if you talk not only the guys that you mentioned on the set, if you talk to people within the Texas coaching staff, what they will tell you to a man is that this guy is even keel and grounded and humble as they come. His teammates love him as a person, as a leader. They're like, if he didn't have the name Manning on the back of his jersey, he'd be the same guy that he would be with it. Like what the respect and admiration he has in that locker room, I think is going to go a long way. And I'm curious to see how he does. I would expect probably the Texas offense is going to look a little bit different this year, probably a little bit more quarterback run maybe with him, because certainly his ability to run, we saw that at times last year when he played. And it's funny because you see all these mock drafts for next year and the prices to go number one, and that's kind of what I was saying all along. I go, look at who you're dealing with, look at the family you're dealing with. You're not talking about guys that left early in college. They all stayed. They all got their degrees. It's not a family that they're going to be out getting money. And that's one of the things, moving on to like NIL and the bigger scheme of things. Like you may be anti-NIL, but the one good thing about NIL and the pay for play that you're getting now is guys who maybe want to work on their NFL draft grade and they're not leaving to go to the NFL early. There's an opportunity for them to stay in college, make a little bit of money in their junior or senior year before leaving and get better and improve their grade as well. So if you're looking for like the silver lining here in the sport, use the Penn State backs, for example, Allen and Singleton. It was thought that they were one or both were going to go, and they both wind up staying and they were able to work some things out. So it's good for college football that those guys are hanging around.
You better, you bet here on this Thursday. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, BetMGM Network, joined by the great Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports. Bear, we've got about 3 minutes left here. I'd love to do lightning round. Four questions in the lightning round. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Your favorite win total for this year's college football season is what? 30 seconds on the clock.
Minnesota over 7.5 at plus money. I think what you look at the Gophers last year, what they did, I know they got Lindsey coming in a quarterback, and I think they're going to be a kind of a pass to set up a run type of deal with Perisic going maybe two ways. You look at the Gophers last year, grueling, brutal losses, Penn State, Michigan, North Carolina, three games that could have won. This isn't a team that's going to go to Oregon and win, go to Ohio State and win. But every other game on that schedule is very, very manageable. I think Minnesota is absolutely an 8-win team.
Bear, your favorite spread bet in either week zero or week one is what and why? 30 seconds on the clock.
I disagreed with the move from Utah to 4, 4.5 to 6.5. I like UCLA plus the 6.5 in that game. I think, obviously, everybody talking about Nico coming in, and clearly that will help the Bruins offense. But after the brutal start to the year last year, UCLA played a hell of a lot better. Their defense played well. I think 6.5, and I know Utah's got the kid from New Mexico transferring in. Everybody expects Kyle Whittingham's team to be potentially the favorite in the Big 12. I don't know. Laying 6.5 right out of the gate on the road. Give me UCLA plus the points there.
Bear, this can very much be a pencil, not pen answer. It's Thursday, August 7th. But if you had to bet someone at price right now to win the Heisman Trophy, who would it be and why?
Carson Beck at 33-1, I think, is still potentially out there. It may have come down a little bit. I know I'm assuming you guys have spoken to Sammy about this as well.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, going in, it's the guy that we thought may have been a number one type pick in the draft. And now he's at Miami with an offensive line that's going to be one of the top 3 to 5 units in the country. They got 3 running backs that they love who can take some of the load off. I think they feel really good about their tight end position as well. He's looked great so far in camp. That Notre Dame game is going to go a long way in determining whether that ticket can cash or not. So Carson Beck, 33-1, and 1B would be the running back on Notre Dame, Jeremiah Love. You look at Notre Dame, they win that game. He potentially is on a team that could, in theory, run the table. So Beck and Love, 1A, 1B.
Final question, Bear. 15 seconds. Pencil, not pen. It's early. You had to bet a national champion at price. Who is it and why?
At price, you're going to make me go an alumni homerism pick. At price, 40-something to 1, Miami, you beat Notre Dame. Maybe DJ Lagway isn't fully healthy. You get to the ACC championship game, you win it. You get an automatic bye. And oh, by the way, title game is in South Florida. Why not, right?
Oh, I absolutely love it. Bear, you're the best. Can't wait to watch you this year on Big Noon Kickoff. Check out all the content. Bear Betts is the podcast on Twitter at Chris Felica. We sincerely appreciate you, and we didn't even talk any Jets. We'll have to get you on again. We appreciate you, my friend. Thank you.
Do we have to?
Well, Femi thinks Aaron Glenn's going to win Coach of the Year, so maybe. The Bear, Chris Felica, with us here on You Better You Bet. On the other side, preseason depth charts coming up in the National Football League.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew, presented by BetMGM.
Bring it up, Jake, you old so-and-so. Our bets for tonight coming up in the final hour, power hour of the show. Major League Baseball, the Dub, and the NFL preseason. Femi, we have five more games to hit, right, with NFL preseason depth charts. Are you ready?
That is correct. Okay. I'm ready, man. Football's back, baby. Let's go.
It is. Are you? So what's your, what are your plans for tonight, for the games?
So tonight I'll be locked in. The rest of the weekend I will not be. But tonight, obviously, Colts Ravens. I believe that's on NFL Network, so that'll be on the main TV. I'll have Bengals Eagles on the iPad, and then Raiders Seahawks is like the late night game. But for us on the West Coast, obviously kicks off at 7 o'clock, so it's a pretty reasonable time. So I'm gonna be parked out here, just sitting at home watching football, especially the early portion of these games. Late portion, maybe we trail off a little bit, do some stuff around the house, but early portion, I'll be dialed in and locked in. So from about 4 o'clock local time until 5:30. I'll be watching football and then maybe take a break until 7 o'clock.
I hadn't planned on talking about this, but something you just said kind of spurred this in me. And I think, wherever you live in the country, you'll have an opinion on this, right? I remember in 2007, this is the year the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. We went, my aunt, my mom's sister, lives just outside San Francisco in Marin County in Northern California. Mm. And we went there for Thanksgiving in 2007. And that weekend, the Giants played the Lions. and I went to like a sports bar at like 9 a.m. local time to watch the game. It was a 1 o'clock kickoff. And that was really like my first ever experience with football kicking off and like West Coast time. And people on the West Coast will insist that there's no place to watch sports like on Pacific time, like on the West Coast, it was 3 hours earlier than it is on the East Coast. And obviously on the East Coast, it's like games don't end until like Sunday Night Football doesn't end until 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. And I just find it curious that like, dude, like the late game for you starts at 7 o'clock. The early game for us starts at 7 o'clock. And like, which is better? Like East Coast or West Coast? Or does anyone want to make the Central Time argument that Central Time's the best?
I mean, I'm biased for the West Coast. I love the West Coast. Anytime I'm out on the East Coast and I have to watch sports, like Labor Day weekend trips, watching college football, I'm like, damn, man, the ABC game doesn't start till 8? Like, that to me just feels insanely late. Just because I'm always used to being able to watch the game, and the game's over like at 8:30, and then I can go out. But like, I guess on the East Coast, you guys will be able to speak to this obviously much better than I would. But it sounds like you guys are out and about while the game is going on, or you just choose to not go out and just watch the game. Like, I don't want to have to make that decision, or at least like in my younger days, I did not want to have to make that decision. I want to watch the game and then go out. I'm always going to be a sucker for the West Coast because also too with the NFL, I'm fired up every Sunday. 10 o'clock feels late to me, honestly. Like, I'm always anxious for the games to get going. So I don't know how you guys wait till 1 o'clock. I guess maybe you do some stuff in advance. But yeah, to me, I'm like, let's get these games rolling, and it's like 9:15 in the morning when I look at the clock.
Well, I host 3 hours of Wagertainment every Sunday morning to pass the time.
Well, I'm saying before then.
before that, I'm sleeping. Yes, before the Wagertainment is sleep, and as soon as I wake up, it's in order, right? This is the four leg parlay. Ready? Piss. Brush teeth. Make coffee, Wagertainment.
Matrix.
There could be
the rest of the day.
There's a fifth one all in there as well. But you know, we can
we'll have to detail that.
Usually it's after the coffee.
Yep.
I'm talking about. Yeah, of course, I'm talking about.
Kyle Raleigh's up to bat. No.
of course, I'm talking about the second piss. Is what I'm talking about.
Of course.
All right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, so it's like, Femi's like, it's 7 o'clock, the late game. I'm going to be struggling to stay awake. It's my daughter's teething, and it's like up in the night. I'm going to be like dying to stay awake to watch the Raiders offense. I'm going to be falling asleep.
So you're going to miss Torrey Horton and Deonte Thornton, all those guys. You're
going to
miss them.
Yeah, like, I'm probably going to, which is sad. Like, I think I am. I don't want to. I can't stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning to watch Raiders Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You can't do that. I'm not going to watch the whole game even. Like, I'll probably go to bed like around 9 o'clock
or
so.
You could, though.
I could, but I don't want to because I tried to like stay on your guys' schedule with the East Coast. So like, I try to get up pretty early, but
good for you, buddy.
Yeah. Like, I'm not, it's a preseason game. I'm not sacrificing sleep for a preseason game. That's what DVRs were invented for. And I'll watch it tomorrow morning. The rest of it.
Okay. Saturday night, we pick up our action. We have five games left. I think it's four games, actually. It's only four. It's Jets, Packers, Broncos, Niners, Dolphins, Bears, and Saints, Chargers. So Jets, Packers is where we left off, Emmy, last night.
We did Chiefs, Cardinals. Yeah. Which, by the way, Mahomes is playing the first quarter, is what Andy Reid said today.
Love that. Green Bay is a juiced 3-point home favorite against the Jets on Saturday night. The total for a preseason game, this total is pretty high, is at 38.5 points. Do we know what the plans are for the Jets and the Green Bay Packers in the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre Bowl?
Oh, we know. And that total being high is because Matt LaFleur finally decided to let everybody know that all four quarterbacks will get some work this weekend, is what LaFleur said. So expect Jordan Love to play to some extent, Malik Willis, et cetera, et cetera. I think Sean Clifford might still be on the roster, but all four Packers quarterbacks will play. So Love will be out there. Aaron Glenn, which shouldn't be a surprise based on how like the veterans have been talking about him throughout training camp, but the Jets are going to play their starters. Aaron Glenn was asked about it. He says, yes, we will play. So like, he's very much going to be like one of those kind of try hard preseason coaches. At least it seems like right now before we get under the action on Saturday. But yeah, both teams are going to be playing their guys. Packers will see for how long, but everyone's going to be out there. Everyone that's healthy, at least.
Love that. So the Jets will be rolling out behind Justin Fields, and Tyrod Taylor's banged up now also. So I guess like, we don't know how this is going to go just yet. Adrian Martinez. Yeah. Tyrod is always hurt, to be fair. I actually like when I did that, I thought it was good content, but I was like, you know, the Jets could probably win as many games with Tyrod as they could with Fields. Like, if you could guarantee me that Tyrod would play in every game, I think that that's a fair take, but
Can't guarantee
probably
that.
Probably wouldn't. Adrian Martinez and Brady Cook. I don't know who Brady Cook is.
It's a Missouri
Isn't
quarterback.
Isn't that the Michigan coach? Former Michigan coach?
I think it was Brady Hoke.
Brady Hoke? Like, what would the line be if Brady Hoke were playing quarterback in the second half of this preseason game?
It'd be Packers laying the 47 and a half.
Brady Hoke was he chubby or was he fat? He's fat, right?
I think he was fat. I think he was beyond chubby. Yeah, he was fat. I don't know what he's doing now. Maybe he's coaching defense or something like that, but
sad coach like San Diego.
Is that what he's doing? Let's Google it right now. Brady Hoke. Let's see. So it just says former football coach. I'm going to click on the Wikipedia here. His last stop was San Diego State. So 2020 to 2023, San Diego State as the head coach.
He
was actually
now?
The Panthers defensive line coach. So he's unemployed right now. He's not doing anything.
Eating?
I mean, he was a college football coach for quite some time, so I'm sure his bread has been buttered.
Yeah, I mean, yes, literally and figuratively. Yes, like, I'm sure, like, he's probably rich, right? So I'm sure he's doing fine. Like, so we say Brady Hoke's unemployed. That's not, like saying, like, my next-door neighbor's unemployed. He's probably still getting paid by Michigan not to coach. So he's probably, I'm sure he's good.
Sure, yeah, he's good. All right.
Yeah, but he's...
sad times.
Yes, gotta... Yep. maybe like mix
Harbaugh.
In a salad. Yeah.
Who's got
out.
It better than us?
Yeah, who's got it better than us? I mean, there's so many jokes to be made. Okay, so that's the Jets quarterback situation. And then we go to Green Bay, and the Packers behind Jordan Love have Malik Willis, who was like freaking, like really like told me to shove it where the sun don't shine last year with how well he played. Sean Clifford, the former Penn State quarterback. And then someone named Taylor Elgersma. I don't know who that is.
That's a new
one. So what
one
do we want to do with Green Bay and the Jets? And Tyler, who is Taylor Elgersma? I'll look this up.
Have you heard of this college? Wilfrid Laurier or Laurier? I've never heard of this college. I'm assuming it's in Canada. Wilfrid
Laurier. He's a Canadian professional quarterback, yeah. Oh, he went in the second round, dude.
Of the CFL draft?
Okay. Yeah. He was the hold on. He was the He went in the second round of the CFL draft. And now, I'm telling you, if I'm an NFL team and I'm having a CFL quarterback on my roster, he better have gone first overall in the CFL draft.
Because
a second-round quarterback in the CFL draft? And he's going to be playing in the fourth quarter?
That's rough, man. That is absolutely terrible.
Dude, honestly, like, I think I like the Jets here.
See, I think for me, this is how I'm going to play this. It's Packers first half. And it doesn't sound like you got to pay too much. Let me see what the first half line is. So it hasn't come out yet. But like Jordan Love is probably going to play like a series, maybe two at most. You get Malik Willis, who like the training camp reports on Malik Willis have also been really good. Like, let alone what we saw last year in the regular season. Sounds like he's really developing. Yeah, he's developing under Matt LaFleur. Like, kudos to the Packers for bringing him in, seeing something in him.
Well, remember when he came out of Liberty, Tennessee like he obviously out. Went in like the third round, but I mean like and some people were like,
people
were second. So, go ahead. But I mean like he was, dude, like he had a massive potential at Liberty.
Yeah. I mean, there were mock drafts that had the Lions taking him second overall instead of Hutchinson. I mean, that'd have been pretty nuts, but people were high on Malik Willis, and the Packers have seemed to tap into that potential. So, like, the way I see the first half playing out, Love for a series, maybe two. Willis for, like, let's say three series or so. Sean Clifford, who in the preseason at least is serviceable, has been pretty solid in the preseason. I like that a lot. So, like, maybe Tyrod Taylor's playing. Maybe he's not playing. Fields obviously will be out there, but like it's Fields, and then it's Adrian Martinez. Nah, I'm good. Give me Green Bay first half. Like, I'm not going to mess around with what's going to go on in the second half, but like I like the Packers in the first half. I think this will be good.
Dude, if this goes to, I'm going to bet the Jets. I'm going to take the points with the Jets. I get a second round pick in the CFL draft to bet against that guy.
But you also have Adrian Martinez
on,
and Brady
Cook.
See.
I just want to see this here. So this was, okay. So this was the 2000, I'm going to look this up. The 2025 CFL draft. Let's see.
Went
okay. These
one.
Are the players. These are the players that went. Where is our guy, Algrisma? Okay. These are the players that went above
Laurier.
Oh, like, how about this? Like, Elik Ayemanur was the first pick.
Oh. So
it, oh, no,
so
these are prospects.
Whole...
Hold on. Hold on. I'm sorry. Gotcha. I apologize. Here's the draft order. Okay. So these are the players that went above Taylor Algrisma in the CFL draft. Damian Alford.
I don't know why that sounds familiar.
Utah wide receiver. Devin Verasuk.
That's his name.
Keelan White.
Hold on.
Keelan White.
When yeah, I'm looking well, back, Verasuk.
V-E-R-E-S-U-K. Verasuk. It's probably Verasuk is probably how it's pronounced. I'm being serious. I'm not joking.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, yeah, Verasuk or Verasuk.
Keelan White. It's like a combination of Keenan and Kel. Here's Keelan. There it goes. Ollie. Welcome to Good Burger.
Underrated movie.
Ollie Saad. How about this name? Tiger Shanks. Connor Shea. Jeremiah Oho. Christopher Fortin. Isaiah Bagna. Darian Newell. Hayden Harris, Samuel Carson, Eric Anderson, Nate Beaujamin, Jalen Smith, Jackson Finley, and Quincy Vaughn all went ahead of Taylor Algrisma. And this is who people want to bet with the Packers?
Can't be full game. Algrisma's not going to be out there in the first half. I'm avoiding Algrisma. All right? I got Love, I got Willis, and I got Clifford. I can roll with them. Now let's see what the first half price is. Maybe it's like three and a half. You might have to pay a tax on it. We don't have the market out right now for the first half, but hopefully it comes out tomorrow. But anything field goal or less, I'm betting Green Bay in the first half.
I'd like to know like how this is gonna go. Like, is Taylor Algrisma going to play? If he does, and this is 3.5, I'm betting the Jets. This is Jets or pass for me. All right. Also, this is the final game on Saturday, and then there are two Sunday games. Mm-hmm. It's the Super Bowl 24 rematch the world's been waiting for. The Broncos and the 49ers. Denver have been waiting a long time for revenge. Denver is a 6.5-point road favorite. The total is 34.5, and that number tells you that Bo Nix and the Broncos starters are going to play, and the Niners aren't going to play anybody. Femi, is that accurate?
That is true. Sean Payton said starters are playing. Kyle Shanahan said, do not expect Brock Purdy, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, or Ricky Pearsall. Maybe next week, but not this week.
So the Broncos behind Bo Nix, Jarrett Stidham, it's like a good NFL backup quarterback,
and really good preseason quarterback.
Sam Ellinger is the three for the Denver Broncos, who feels like a preseason all-star. For the 49ers, see, this is interesting for San Francisco. Mac Jones is the backup. Maybe they should just pick Mac Jones instead of Trey Lance. Mac Jones, and then Curtis Rourke.
Okay, from Indiana.
And who's Carter Bradley?
Never heard of him.
Tyler, who's Carter Bradley? Tyler doesn't even know who he is.
I guess we'll find his college in the next segment.
He went after Taylor Algrisma in the CFL draft. All right, on the other side, we'll figure out who Carter Bradley is and how we're betting the Broncos and the Niners and the rest of week one of the preseason.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.
He's due to get a good workout in on the day of our preseason game where he's going to throw, and that was on par with the schedule that we always had. You'll see him in practice next week. He won't participate in the Chargers practice just because of we're looking at it like he's got an acclimation period that'll really start on Saturday once we play the Cowboys.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew, presented by BetMGM.
That is a good job by our excellent engineer, Jake Hassan. That sound courtesy of Rams head coach Sean McVay within the hour. Speaking at Rams training camp, a positive update about quarterback Matthew Stafford, that he's going to be working out soon and going to be back at practice next week. So, if I were the listener viewer, I'd be asking myself this question because I've been kind of sounding the alarm bells a little bit on Matthew Stafford. So, are you not concerned anymore? Or like, told you, everything's going to be cool. Well, I never expected Stafford wasn't going to play in week one. Like, they're obviously sitting him here, and they gave him the epidural because they want him to play in week one. And the Rams don't care about the preseason anyway. So my expectation was always was that Stafford was going to play. And even more than my expectation, and I think kind of common sense and logic kind of dictated that Stafford would play, all you have to do in situations like this is look at the betting market. Where if, you know, say, like, the day Stafford got an epidural, if all of a sudden, like, the Texans were favored in the game, or if Houston started to get bet, and the thought was, well, you know, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo's going to start, then we'd be able to say, wow, like, Houston's now favored. Something's up. Like, the Texans got bet a lot today. Like, why do you think that is? A month before the game? I don't know, probably because one of the starting quarterbacks is 37 years old with a bad back and got an epidural. But none of that ever happens. Like, the Rams have held steady as a juiced 2.5-point home favorite against the Texans, so I never felt like Stafford was going to miss the game. So my pessimism and my concern about Stafford and the Rams was never, like, he's not going to play. My concern is, he's 37 years old, his back's effed up, he's been flirting with retirement for years. It was July when his back first started flaring up. Like, none of this is good. Eric Jackson's dealing with blood clots. You got the Texans in week one with that pass rush. Man, like, this, it just feels, and you could say this about any team. Starting quarterback gets hurt, they're screwed. Obviously, you can say that. But it just feels like, and who would disagree? The situation feels flimsier with Matthew Stafford, with his age and his back history and this back injury right now. So I am concerned about the Los Angeles Rams this season, which doesn't mean they can't or won't win the NFC West or the NFC. Their upside is to win the Super Bowl. That could happen this year. It absolutely could happen this year. They were a play away from beating the Eagles on a snowy day in Philadelphia this past January. Of course they could get there. Of course they could win it. But would you bet on it? Knowing what you know about Matthew Stafford's back. It can happen. I wouldn't bet on it. And just quickly on the Houston Texans, who'll play the Rams in week one. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, acquired from the team from the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for a first-round pick from a couple years ago, Kenyon Green, as the Texans remade their offensive line this offseason. Gardner-Johnson carted off at practice today, and the reports there, similar to Rashawn Slater with the Chargers, where teammates surrounding him and, like, he's in agony, and it doesn't sound good for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And really quietly, because, you know, C.J. Stroud commands so much attention and the pass rush commands a lot of attention, the Texans are building, like, a monster secondary with Stingley and Lassiter, Petrie, Bullock, and Gardner-Johnson. If Gardner-Johnson's out for an extended period of time, like, you still like this Texans secondary, but it loses some teeth because Gardner-Johnson's crazy. And in real life, that's a bad thing. You know, I don't want to hang out with crazy people in my personal life. But on my football team, yeah, I like having crazy people on my football team. You'd like that. I love that addition for the Texans. And it just means that the Texans' secondary is one step closer to having things not go well. I still like the secondary. Stingley's still there. Lassiter's still there. Petrie, Bullock. But not having C.J. Gardner-Johnson, if this is going to be a serious injury, and we'll wait on the severity of the injury, really bad for D'Amico Ryans and this Houston Texans defense. Man, Femi, we had a lot of news we had to hit there. Femi, I want to start here with Rashawn Slater, because you have been captain Los Angeles Chargers this offseason. You like the Raiders also, but you've mm-hmm. loved the Chargers this offseason. If Rashawn Slater's out, I'm guessing you're not going to like the Bolts as much.
No, I think it's time to press the panic button. And usually I don't say that about preseason injuries unless it happens to guys in marquee positions. Well, the left tackle is a really marquee position given the contract that Rashawn Slater just signed a few days ago. Like, this is disastrous for the Chargers. Like, this was a team that already had a low ceiling, needed to succeed by, like, running the football, protecting Justin Herbert. Now they could potentially lose their best offensive lineman for a significant time. Like, this is disastrous. You can't have this. So for me, like, if this is serious, I think the Chargers are probably a team that's on the outside looking in. Like, I think it's that bad and that impactful of an injury. Like, I don't think this is going to be, like, Chargers terrible, like 6-11, 5-12. I think the head coach and quarterback are too good for that to happen. But like, this is the kind of injury that leaves you as a team that went 11-6 last year and all of a sudden goes 8-9 this year and misses the postseason. So hopefully for the Chargers, maybe this is just precautionary, but based on all the reporting, it sounds like this is going to be a very, very serious injury, which is rather unfortunate.
Yeah, and this is from straight from Daniel Popper, who again covers the Chargers from The Athletic, from his like report that he filed from practice. Slater slammed his hands on the cart and buried his head in his hands. A trainer put a towel over his head before two trainers helped Slater inside. Slater could not put any weight on his left leg. So yeah. You hope, if you're a Charger fan, you're a Charger better, and you hope that this is Tyler Guyton, right?
Yeah.
And that it's not done for the season, and maybe it's only a couple weeks. It feels like this is probably a little bit worse than that for Sean Slater and the Los Angeles Chargers. Okay.
Yeah, it seems pretty brutal.
It's no good.
Last night, you watched Hard Knocks last night, didn't you?
Well, I watched, like, I did not watch the whole thing.
Turned it off.
Yeah, like, I wasn't going to, I can, like, yeah. Like, I got
a give us, like, a 60-second review.
I got a huge issue with this. Well, to be fair, like, I didn't watch the whole episode. So maybe like something like amazing happened in like the final. I think I watched like the first like 25 minutes. It's like, you know what? This is boring. This sucks. I don't want to watch this anymore. I turned it off. So the thing that makes Hard Knocks entertaining and has made it entertaining throughout the years is you need a team on Hard Knocks that either like sucked last year, not Buffalo, is dealing with like tremendous drama, not Buffalo, like positional battles that are really interesting. Mm-hmm. Not Buffalo. Like, what's interesting from a drama perspective about the 2025 Buffalo Bills? Like, you want Hard Knocks to be, like, the starting quarterback. We don't know if this guy's got it or not. Like, the head coach is fighting to save his job.
That's what you want.
Like, Hard Knocks literally opens with, like, Josh Allen, movie star. Like, he's so handsome. He's unbelievable. Everyone loves him. Here's the highlight montage. Here's his movie star wife. What's interesting about this? Like, awesome. Like, he's great. Great. Cool. Like, why are the Bills interesting this year? Like, give me a bad team on Hard Knocks. Give me a team with tons of drama. Like, honestly, like, the Giants would never do it after the offseason Hard Knocks. How much, the Giants
perfect.
Would be amazing this year.
Yeah.
Like, how about the Jets with Aaron Glenn? The Jets would be perfect this year. Like, the Bengals would be way better. They missed the playoffs last year. Al Golden now is the defensive coordinator. I think the Bills are actually the worst choice for Hard Knocks. Like, the number one, the worst choice that they could have made is the Buffalo Bills. Like, they're not interesting at all. From like, I want to sit down and, like, and really, like, ensconce myself in some drama here. That's what this is. It's not a football show. It's a reality show. Reality show, you need some entertainment. You need some drama. There is none. It doesn't exist. I turned it off. I watched The Challenge instead. You want a reality show with some drama? Here's The Challenge. I enjoyed the second episode of the season last night.
Here's six people from Big Brother of the last decade. No, I think the problem with Hard Knocks is that, like, they don't allow you to do, like, the team personnel stuff anymore. Like, that stuff was at least interesting. If you didn't get, like, characters like Bart Scott and Rex Ryan on that Jets team, which I think is still the best Hard Knocks that they've ever had. Let's go get a goddamn snack. Yeah, like, the first ever Ravens one was really good, too, because, like, Brian Billick was talking cash noise coming off that Super Bowl. But, like, the Rex Ryan Hard Knocks Jets, like, that was, like, the peak of Hard Knocks. You had the Darrelle Revis contract situation going on, everything, et cetera, et cetera. So many characters on that team. But, like, what made that Hard Knocks really fun, and other Hard Knocks as well, even the Cleveland Browns one with Hugh Jackson, is that they were talking about the players. Like, it was like, hey, like, what do we think about this kid? Like, where does he slot in? What do we think about this person? Like, they were kind of, like, showing you how teams sort of cut down the roster. Like, so if worst case scenario, you don't get, like, fun personalities,
like,
at least you get some of the team building stuff. But, like, you get nothing. It's now a montage.
One
part that I did like, from, I don't know if you got to this part in the 25 minutes, Tre'Davious White obviously now back with the Buffalo Bills after a few years away.
Who, by the way, I think it's going to be, might start for the Bills in week one if Maxwell Harrison's out, which is problematic against the Ravens.
And they were highlighting their relationship, like Tre'Davious White is kind of being like Unc or the old head or whatever, and Maxwell Harrison being like the young guy, and White's kind of taking him under his wing. And like, we see like when Harrison gets injured and all that stuff, which is a little bit unfortunate. But like, Tre'Davious White was like, went to like the ice cream parlor at one of them, and like, he ordered like this like big old like dessert where it's like double chocolate chip cookies, big vanilla ice cream, hot fudge, sprinkles. Like, that was honestly, like, that's how, like, vanilla, pun intended, this Hard Knocks is. That the best part was literally Tre'Davious White going to the ice cream parlor and every Bills fan being like, we're glad that you're back, man. Great to have you back. Like, it's really, really just kind of, you know, meh. But the ice cream looked really, really good, and it made me hungry. So I'd say that was the highlight of it, which I guess you never got.
Let's keep this unk away from the OnlyFans models. That'd be my suggestion. And just what you were, because I think a lot of people, and I'm not criticizing you, Femi, for liking that stuff.
Yeah.
The thing that really turns me off about Hard Knocks, honestly, do you remember? I may have the team wrong. Which team cut Vontae or traded Vontae Davis on Ooh. Hard Knocks?
It wasn't Miami. Miami was the Chad Johnson getting cut. That was the big thing there.
Whatever.
It might have been Indiana. Yeah. I forgot which team it was.
So they bring Vontae Davis into the room and tell him that they've traded him. And I mean, it's like the whole, like everything about, like, it's all, everything is sad.
Yeah.
And Davis is shell shocked and goes like, I need to call my grandma. And it's just like, I get it. And like, I guess in I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because like, you want that drama. I don't need that. I don't need to see like a young man's like dreams being shattered or like life being like turned out. I'm good on that. Like, I'm good on that. Honestly, I think Hard Knocks sucks. The Giants one will be the last good one ever. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that another time. Maybe next hour. The Bear, Chris Felica, will join us on the other side talking college football.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. The sportsbook born in Vegas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.